Oh, yeah.
You ready to pay attention? Nobody's going to go to sleep, right? My buddy's not here, otherwise I know he couldn't keep that promise. My sidekick. Anyway, today's 3/28/2021. I'm Paul Baubeck, third, as you all know, but for anybody out there. And what I'm going to teach on this morning, it's adult Sunday school class. How important is the resurrection? That's a very important question. Do we realize how important the resurrection is? And also, do you know, and I hope that if you're maybe not familiar or you haven't studied up on it, do you know the facts for the resurrection? I mean, there's more facts for the resurrection. I'm talking about just evidence than anything, probably, because it's so important. So we're going to look first at some of the facts, and I'm hopefully just going to whet your appetite. Most of you got Google computers. Look up the evidence for the resurrection, because when you're talking to somebody, you're going to, you should be able to defend the hope within you. You should be able to tell them logically what's the proof of the resurrection. You know, because a lot of time believers, because sometimes believers, we can be lazy and we don't study. We should know this, the facts for this. We should have an apologetic. That means a defense for the hope within us. You know, and why do we trust in Christ rather than other world religious leaders? So Christ was God, right? And his resurrection proves that too. He claimed to be God, right? He claimed to be the way, the truth, and the life, didn't he? Well, anybody can claim that. What if somebody came up to you and said, "Hi, I'm God"? You'd think he belongs in a mental institution or something, right? But what if he rose from the dead? You know, I thought it would be interesting, and I went and talked to a psychiatrist this week, and you know what he told me? That I had a split personality. And I says, "No, I don't." Then I said, "Yes, I do." "No, for the pastor, for his jokes, I'll leave that in hand. Let's go to First Corinthians 15:1-4. So first of all, we're going to look at some of the facts straight up from Scripture. 1 Corinthians 15, we're going to go to 1-4 first. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, good news, which I preached unto you, and which you received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved." This is pretty important, isn't it? Got to know how to be saved. Got to know what you're saved from, right? If somebody don't know their condition, well, they come to Christ for their provision. "So by which you are saved, if you keep in memory what I've preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." And we're going to look at some other verses to deal with that verse in a minute. "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received." Who did he receive it from? Christ. Christ from heaven, right? Paul said that that God's able to, at Romans 16:25, that God's able to establish us according to his gospel. This is Paul's gospel. And the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, right? Kept secret since the world began. That's what builds us up, establishes us. So here's that gospel Christ gave Paul. "For I delivered unto you," verse 3, "first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins." You got to trust what? Christ died for your sins personally. It's just not knowing these facts. You know, a lot of people are religious and they believe that Jesus died, he buried, and he rose. But they don't believe, you know, Satan don't care if you know that. What he don't want you to know is it's by trusting that Christ died for you, your sins personally, that you're saved by grace through faith, not of yourselves, not of works, right? It's a gift to God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. Why does he say that? Because we will boast, right? Ain't that what religious people do? Self-righteous people, they boast in how good they are. So he says how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So that is the gospel in a nutshell. But I always add, to make it clear, what I just quoted. Ephesians 2:8 and 9. That you're saved by grace through faith, right? It's a gift. It's not anything of ourselves, not getting water baptized, not committing our lives to God, repenting of all of our sins, not giving money to the church, not giving all your money to the poor. It's just trusting in this wonderful gospel. Well, like MC Hammer, you say, let's break it down, right? Why is it so important, the resurrection? You know, ask most Christians, what's it mean to be a Christian? And what will they tell you? Oh, my sins are forgiven. Then ask them, I mentioned this before, but you learn by three things, right? Repetition, repetition, repetition. Anyway, I seen Bill come in, I'm thrown off now, because, you know, he just turned 70, he's really getting old. He's the guy who always called me short. Anyway, I'm glad he's still here. We almost weren't a few years ago. But, so, then you ask, all right, they say, because I'm forgiven of my sins. That's only half the gospel. What did Paul say? How Christ died for our sins, right? And what else? He was buried, and he rose again. That's the full gospel. Yep. Most churches got half a gospel. Most people are half evangelized believers, you know that? So they live a half, what Christ said he came to give you life and life abundantly. They live a half Christian life. Because the power for the Christian life is in the resurrection. Christ died for our sins so God could what? Take care of the sin issue once for all. Every sin you ever did, from the day you're born to today's sins, till the day you die, God wrapped them up and took them, and he who knew no sin became sin for us. He did it for you personally. Talking about love demonstrated, wondering if God loves you when you're going through tough times, think of the cross. All of our sins were in the future over 2,000 years ago, right? So then ask that believer that's been half evangelized, do you ask God to forgive you? Oh yeah, I got to get in fellowship, and you know, 1 John 1:9, Christians by our soul, right? Because they've been taught that's the believers, when that verse isn't to a believer, and they made whole theologies based on that verse. So, some will understand the finale of the cross, but they don't understand the reality of the resurrection. So God dealt with their sins once for all. Because what's the wages of sin?
Death.
So if God didn't deal with the sin issue once for all, what would happen when you sin? What happened to Adam? He died spiritually, right? So the Spirit of God will leave us. But why does Paul say that we're sealed till the day of redemption? We're guaranteed heaven. Because God dealt with the sin issue. So we don't got to be sin and failure focused. We can be focused on Christ and just behold him. And we're transformed more and more into his image. Don't you want that? Well, see, now, we're not saved by Christ's death. We're forgiven by his death. The power of sin is broke by the cross, Romans chapter 6, right? Romans 5:10 said, if we're reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more. That means that's something, not just a little more, much more we shall be saved by his life. In the Greek, the word is zoe. It means a quality of life. It's the kind of life that Christ has in his resurrection life. You got Christ living in you with resurrection life. And we can do what?
All things.
How? Through Christ in us, right? Praise God. So, go to verse 14. See, we're saved by the resurrection. We're forgiven through his blood. We're redeemed through his blood. We're justified through his blood and the resurrection. But we're saved because what is salvation? It's being made spiritually alive. When we're dead in our sins, God made us alive. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. Think the resurrection ain't important? Go to verse 17. I'm sorry, I just read that, didn't I?
No, you did 14.
Oh. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. If Christ didn't die from, raised from the dead, we'd still be in our sins. We'd still be spiritually dead. Ain't you glad you're alive today? Even if you're 70, ain't you glad you're alive? I mean, even it's tough getting old, ain't it? Bill's going to start going backwards. 69, 68, 60. I had an uncle like that. He stayed 39 for a lot of years. And I said, hey, you know, people ain't going to believe you forever. Some of the evidence of the resurrection, let's go to verse 20 and 22. This is pretty good evidence. I mean, this would hold up with no doubt in a court of law. But now Christ is risen from the dead, praise God. That ain't in the text, but I get excited sometime when I think about the wonderful grace of God. And become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, that's Adam, right? When he sinned, the wages of sin is death, Spirit of God left him. Remember, he didn't die physically that day. God said, if you eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die. And the idea there in Hebrew scholars, rabbi scholars believe it's a double death. Dying, you shall die. So he lived on after that day, I think, 920 years? So you think you're old at 70? How you like to be 970, man? Even oil of Olay couldn't help you then, you know? So how did he die? Spirit of God left him. Right? So what is salvation? When you trust Christ died for your sins, he was buried and he rose again, the Holy Spirit comes and gives you spiritual life and seals you with it. And now you've got God's seal of approval. You're totally righteous in his eyes. Your new nature is totally righteous, only wants to serve God. They say, how come then I struggle? Because they're still in the old nature. But God dealt with that too. The cross broke the power of the sin nature. We don't have to give in to it. We choose to. Ugh. Isn't that convicting? You know, I'm not talking about sinless perfection. You know, we make choices. You know, so if we mess up, we can't say, oh, it ain't true that I can do all things through Christ. No, that's true. Nothing wrong with Christ. It's we got our eyes off of him, onto something else. Because our thoughts, our desires, our emotions respond to our thoughts. So here's where the battle is, right? That's why Paul says what? Take every thought captive, right? Put on the full armor of God. So he says, again, in verse 17, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, and you're still in your sins. So praise God. I'm sorry, verse 14 to 21 now. And if Christ be not raised, then our preaching then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. It's empty. Yea. And we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if He didn't raise Him up. So, if so be that the dead rise not. So Paul's using something here. There was teaching that there is no resurrection in the Corinthians church. And Paul's using logic here, right? The Holy Spirit through Paul. He said, then Christ didn't rise either then. And if Christ rose, we know one day, what does it say about the rapture? The dead in Christ shall rise first. We're going to get new bodies. I was thinking about on the way here, and springtime always makes me think about resurrection. It should make, I think, all of us. I think God leaves a witness even in creation. Resurrection is, you think of a seed. It falls to the ground, right? It's got to die. It's got to shed its outer shell. And what comes up? New life, right? That's resurrection, baby. So we already have new lives inwardly, right? At the rapture, we're just going to shed these old, this sin, with that sin nature, we're going to have bodies that won't have a sin nature, bodies that won't get sick, bodies that can go, like we're going to have a body like Christ. We can walk through doors, you know? Make sure you knock, but anyway. No, don't try it now. You'll get a swollen nose. Verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we of all men are most miserable. See, even if we believed Christ rose from the dead, if it's not true, then why? Why not just eat, drink, and be merry, right? Christ didn't rise from the dead. But listen to this. But now, is Christ risen from the dead? The idea, He is. And become the first fruits of them who slept. Now, I want to give you some... go to verse 20 and 22, I believe. No, I'm sorry. Go back... go to verse 5. Right, Paul says, and he was buried in verse 4, that he rose from, he first in verse 3, he died for our sins, and then verse 4, and he was buried in, that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. This didn't just happen. God said it was going to happen, right? And that he was seen of Cephas, Peter, then the 12. After that, I want to stop there for a sec. Do you know in history, supposedly, all the apostles were, I'm not sure about John, were killed for their faith. And none of them denied Christ. Now, you might die for something you believe in. I hope you have something that you're willing to die for, this gospel. But you won't die for something you don't believe in. If they were just telling stories, they would have fessed up when they were going to kill him, right? But they didn't. Paul got his head chopped off. Think of the things Paul suffered for Christ, for this gospel, for what he calls the revelation of the mystery, that whole body of truth to the body of Christ in the dispensation of grace. He was beat, right? His back was, five times? Ripped up. He was beat with rods. Thrown in jail. You can go on and on. You can read in Corinthians, I call it the perils of Paul. And that's evidence. Now let's keep reading. I'm finding back where it was.
Verse 5.
Oh, thank you. So, somebody's listening. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once. Now, somebody could have an illusion, right? and think they saw Christ resurrected, but not 500 people at once. You take 500 witnesses in a court of law, somebody's either guilty or somebody's proved innocent. If you got 500 witnesses, look at the evidence there. The evidence for what we believe. We believe in a risen Savior. Do you believe in a risen Savior?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God, we serve a risen Savior. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, right? And high above all principalities, powers, and mights, right? And who's seated with them?
We are.
That's part of our position, our identity in Christ, our union with Christ. Then you learn to walk in that resurrection power. You appropriate that by faith, moment by moment. That's growth. That's practical sanctification. Because we were sanctified, set apart by the Holy Spirit the moment we trusted in Christ. That's why Paul calls even the Corinthians believers to the saints in Corinth. How you like that? I can relate to them because I mess up. I come up short, don't I, Bill, every day? But praise God, he sees you in Christ. He who knew no sin became... That's why one of the reasons I married her. She's shorter than me. She's cuter than me, too. And, okay. Let me keep going here. So that was 500 people at once, right? And listen to this. Now, over time, that's where you get stories get bigger and bigger, right? Right? Mm-hmm. Like a little gossip. It starts out a little bit here. And then somebody at church comes and tells somebody, you know, oh, we got to pray for so-and-so. Do you know what they did? Yeah, church gossip. Watch who you tell things to. Don't share things with everybody. Somebody you trust. We should all be trustworthy for somebody to confide in us. Because if somebody's struggling, they fall on their face. What does Paul say in Galatians? If someone's caught in a sin, and that idea in the Greek, it can go one of two ways. You caught them, or it's like a bear trap. They didn't mean to, they got caught. And they're on their face, and they can't get that off. So you who are spiritual, don't look down on anybody unless you're helping them get up, right? You who are spiritual, go and help restore them. Help lift them back up. Maybe you've been through something. You struggle with something. You fell on your face in something. And so with the comfort God gave you, you're able to comfort them and counsel them. And so somebody could have an illusion, but not 500 people at once. Come on. You know what I'm saying? He says, after that he was seen of above 500 people, brethren, at once, and whom the greater part remain until this present, but some have fallen asleep. I love that picture of falling asleep. That's not soul sleep. To be absent from the body, present with the Lord. So our soul and spirit go to be with the Lord, and Paul's given the idea of a body sleeping. Going to wake up in the morning when that trump, the last trump in the dispensation of grace, bam! Ain't you looking forward to it?
Amen.
Going to see our loved ones that's trusted in Christ. Going to be like family reunion. Eh? I think my mom's a greeter, you know, in heaven. She was so good at it here. So that's 500 people. They were still alive. You could have went and questioned them. You think there ain't evidence for the resurrection? There's a lot more than this, actually. But I'm going to leave that with you and hopefully whet your appetite so you'll study up on this yourself. You know, I counsel sometime and I try to encourage on Facebook, people message me and ask me questions. I don't mind taking time, and that's part of ministry, right? But some pastors, they're asking me questions. And after a while, and I help them when I... But after a while, I say, you know what? You can find these things out on your own. You can go on the Berean Bible Society website. They got hundreds of articles on different things. See, some people get a little lazy and want you to do all the work for them, but you're not helping them there, especially a pastor. He needs to do research. But every believer should be like that too. We should know what we believe and why we believe it. There's a real simple book. It's not real complicated, by Paul Little. Know what you believe and why you believe it. And things like this are in that little book. It's not a big book. It's just a good little apologetics. So, you know, a lot of time unbelievers don't want to really, they don't respect Christians because they might ask them a question and the believer don't study. Or he don't know any apologetics. And he has no answers. And then that guy goes away, yeah, ripped up that Christian. It's funny, I was thinking, you wear dark so you look thinner? You know, ladies. The only thing is, don't turn sideways.
Hey.
You go like this. Let's go to Romans 5:10 to see how important the resurrection actually is. So go back a book, Romans 5:10. Romans 5:10. This is what I was talking about earlier. Well, go to 9. Much more than, start in verse 8, I'm sorry. But God commended his love towards us. That idea is he demonstrated, he commended it. And that while we were still sinners, not when we clean our act up, not when we repented of all our sins and commit our life to God. Doesn't Paul say those in the flesh cannot please God? So how could you commit your life if you're an unsaved person to God? Then why are they from the pulpits all over this world today, so many teaching people that's how you get saved? Walk an aisle, come up to the altar. We're back in the temple now, aren't we? Come up to the altar. Commit your life to God. Repent all your sins. Let me ask you something as an honest Christian. Have you stopped sinning?
No.
Because if you say yeah, there was one guy at a church, and the guy who was preaching said, does anyone in here not commit sin? And one guy raised his hand. And he goes to his wife. Is he telling the truth? She's like, nope. See, we all do. That's why that sin issue had to be dealt with, right? So while we're still sinners, so you don't tell somebody to come up and, you know, another thing that ain't in Scripture, ask Jesus in your heart. Show me the verse for that. Now, I will say Christ does come. Your heart is the idea of your inward person. Christ's spirit, Christ lives in our hearts. But not because we asked him. What's Paul say? Believe Christ died for your sins. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, right? You give him the gospel that Christ died for your sins. He was buried and he rose. That you receive it by grace through faith, right? You receive it. Grace is unmerited favor. You don't deserve it. What's the wage of sin? You deserve death. But the gift of God. But, love that. But God. Don't you love that with Paul? But God. But God commended, in verse 8, commended his love, so his own unique love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So he dealt with the sin issue, right? But look at, that ain't all. Much more than. See, well, do you know what's being taught? A much less gospel. You know why? Because they don't get their gospel from Paul. They go back to Peter. Or they go back to the gospel of the kingdom that, what did Christ say? He was only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Paul said he was born of a woman, born under law. So in Israel, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Christ Christ is teaching under law to the nation Israel, right? We don't get our instructions from there. What's Paul say? And Christ gave him these instructions. Paul says, I give you the commands of Christ, right? This is from Christ. So if you don't, Paul says, follow him as he follows Christ. And how do we know Christ? As head of the body, seated at the right hand of the Father. We know him after his resurrection, ascension, sitting at the right hand of the Father, right? You don't follow, Paul said, though we, this is 1 Corinthians 5, chapter 5, he says, though we knew Christ in the flesh. We know about Christ, and you learn things from Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, right? You learn things from the Old Testament. You learn things from Hebrews to Revelation. But that ain't to us. Hebrews is to who? Hebrews. Who is James to? To the 12 scattered tribes. That's Israel. So that's the problem today. What does Paul say? Study 2 Timothy 2:15. Study. You been studying? Don't answer, huh? Study. I mean, not out loud. Ask yourself. And if you ain't been, then what do you need to do?
Study.
Yeah. Study. But study just any old way? Study to show thyself approved unto God. There's a way to study the Bible that has God's approval. I like having God's approval. Yeah? We're accepted in the beloved, every believer. But not everybody has God's approval. God doesn't approve when somebody just goes out and sins like the devil. Right? That doesn't have God's approval. And they don't have God's approval if they don't study like he tells them to. That's a command. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed. That means you maybe some people should be ashamed the way they study. Right? But you don't have to be. Study, show thyself proved unto God, a workman need not be ashamed. I'm starting to speak in tongues. Rightly dividing the word of truth. You got to rightly divide the word of truth. Or you know what? You're going to get a confused message. You're going to try and follow instructions back here. You're going to be trying to raise the dead. You're going to be trying to asranakataha, babbling. You're going to say, oh, I'm speaking this heavenly language. I was taught that for 6 years. You're going to be seeking for the Holy Spirit, tarrying in, with evidence of speaking in tongues. I was running, trying to get the power of the Holy Spirit. I didn't know I'm complete in Christ, Colossians 2:10, right? You're blessed with every spiritual blessing, Ephesians 1:3 in Christ, right? We don't got to chase things. And every wind of doctrine that blows through the church, and there's a lot of them blowing there. If you know apologetics, or if you're on Facebook much, or if you know many people, because they don't really divide the word. And then you'll get a mixed gospel that Paul says ain't the gospel. It's another gospel. There's different gospels in the Word of God, you know that? Gospel of the kingdom, right? Wasn't there a gospel good news to Abraham? Wasn't there a gospel to Noah? That was good news, man. God's going to flood the world. But God's going to give you some instructions to build a ship that you're safe. And God closed them doors, a sort of a picture of salvation. A type in the Old Testament. Just like us, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. We're safe. We're safe in Christ. Now, our bodies can get affected by things. Our emotions, we can get hurt. We can get destroyed sometimes. Somebody rips our heart out. It's happened to me when I was younger. That's why I appreciate my lovely, loving wife so much. Because my heart's safe with her. She's very faithful. But you know what? It can't destroy you because nothing can separate you from God's love. Nothing. It's going through. Nothing. We're going to face stuff in this life, ain't we? Paul said in this world, or Christ said, you're going to have troubles. So that doesn't mean think negatively, oh no, today probably going to get some more troubles. It's life in a fallen world. Stuff happens, right? but be a good cheer, I've overcome the world. In Christ, we're what? More than conquerors, right? Is that what Paul tells us? Nothing. He covered everything. Not death, nor life, nor principalities, you know. No things present nor things come can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. These people are blessed. Don't it make you want to say like Paul? Bless God. Bless God. Bless you, Father. You know? He's so good in His grace to us. Then sometime we're like, yeah, I heard about that. A pastor talked about that last week. Who's playing the Bears today? Try and watch my time. So, what?
Like, why?
Hey, don't tell me that, Bill. He's trying to get me in trouble, but he wants me to go over so he can. No, she'll tell me. How come you went over? She told me that one day. I go, how come you didn't like listening? Anyway, in verse 8, but God demonstrates His love towards us in that while we were still yet sinners, Christ died for us. There's half the gospel. Much more than being now justified by His blood, declared righteous. You're righteous in God's eyes. Once He declared you righteous, and God don't change His mind about that. Much more than being now justified by His blood. That's in the present tense. We shall be saved from wrath through Him. We won't go through the tribulation period. We won't go to hell. Aren't you glad of that?
Amen.
Man, it's going to be terrible. But even though we can rejoice in that, man, we need to think about our spiritual blessings. Meditate on that. Think on these things, things that are true, right? But there's other people who ain't got that blessing. We got the answer. We need to pray and then by faith start sharing with people. You know, and some of you, I know Lori, man, seems like she's always asked me to pray for somebody she shared with. I love that. You know, she's got that heart of evangelism. And we should all have that. And if you struggle with, see now, again, me, Dave, and the pastor, they would differ with me on spiritual gifts. I don't believe just like them there's any outward spiritual gifts like prophecy and knowledge and dreams and visions and, you know, new revelations. But Paul talks about in Romans inward spiritual gifts. One's evangelism, encouragement. So I think Lori has a gift of evangelism. You say, well, I ain't got that, so I got a different gift, so I'm not going to be evangelizing. People think I'm a Jesus freak. You learn from the one who got the gift. Observe. Ask them questions. How do you share? I struggle a little bit in that area. You know, or do some research on your own. On evangelism. Verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. See, reconciliation, there was separation. God dealt with the sin issue once and for all. So now what? We can be reconciled with God. And then what? Why did He do that? Much more. I'm sorry, we are reconciled to God. How? Don't ever forget it. By the precious death of His Son. Much more. Here goes Paul again. Wants me to start jumping up here for joy. Being, so have been reconciled, the idea. We shall be saved by His life. Spiritual resurrection life. Go to Galatians 2:20. A few books to the right. Galatians 2:20. Why is it so important to understand the resurrection? Paul talks about, I ain't got time to go there, in Philippians. I want to know Him, Christ, and the power of His resurrection. Paul wanted to not only know about it, the evidence for Christ's resurrection, he wanted to experience the resurrection power of the resurrection of Christ in his life, in his experience. And so he tells us in Galatians 2:20. Now this is in the perfect tense, I am. So the idea is, it happened in the point of time with continuing results. So I am. So he was, what, crucified with Christ, what? The moment he believed, Romans 6, Holy Spirit baptized him into the body of Christ. God identified him with Christ's death. He died who he was in Adam. God buried that old funky Adam. And then he rose as a new creation in Christ. So I am, I continue to be crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, so I died. Nevertheless, I live. I think that's kind of funny in a way. Are you dead or are you alive, Paul? Make up my mind. And he explains it to you. Yet not I. So how did he's talking about his Christian life. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, so the idea in my body, I live by the faith. Christ is faithful. And we place our faith in his faithfulness of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Go to 2 Timothy 2:3. I only got a couple minutes. I said clocks are always my enemy, but Bill told me just go ahead and take my time. 2 Timothy 2, starting in verse 3. Yeah. 1 Timothy, I'm sorry. Thanks for helping me there. 1 Timothy 2, verse 3 through 7. See, because we're forgiven, that doesn't mean it's not important the way you live. You know, we're going to be rewarded one day at the Bema Seat. You know, I know some of the rewards are places of authority in heavenly places. I think our bodies are going to be able to emanate the glory of God's life in us in beautiful ways. And so, it's important how we live our lives. Do we want to glorify God? Do we want to adorn the gospel we're sharing? And so he says, for this is good and acceptable, I said to you, in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ, God and men, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all. Sorry, our Calvinist friends, Christ died for all, not a few of the elect. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. I pick one, this one got to go. Who gave himself as a ransom for all, because all were sinners. And what? To be testified in due time. Paul's a due time testifier. Who gave him, wherefore, I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles. I think I had the wrong verse, but that's all right. Go to chapter 2. 2 Timothy, and I'll be closing up. Chapter 2. This is Paul's attitude. That's why he's our pattern in salvation. He was saved completely by grace, right? God's worst enemy, and also in ministry. He says, therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake. That's for elect, think elect as service. Christ was God's elect. That they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It's a faithful saying. If we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. It makes sense, right? Christ died, he rose. God placed us into his death, we rose with him, right? If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. There's some places of authority. If we deny him, what? Service. This isn't saying you lose your salvation. If we don't serve him, we pretty much, our lives deny him. We don't even want people maybe to know we're Christians because they'll think we're a Jesus freak. I am a Jesus freak. You know? Let them think what they want. He will also deny us what? Rewards. If we believe not, yet he abide faithful. He cannot deny himself. So Paul talks about in verse 3. Thou therefore endured hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life. Stick that in your mind. Meditate on that this week. That he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strives lawfully? So according to the rules, right? Go to verse 2:15. What are God's rules when we study his word so we'll know what to apply in his word? Study to, this is the rule of God. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman, that's a man doing work, ain't he? And that could be generic because women, you serve God also. Christ is in you. A workman that needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So it's important to rightly divide, isn't it? Very important. But you know, just as important, it's important to rightly apply. Don't just be a doctrine head. Get that doctrine down into your heart. Let it work in our attitudes, our will, and let Christ offer our bodies in view of God's mercy, his grace. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. That's true worship. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, what a wonderful thing to know. Our Savior is a risen Savior. And we're risen from the dead. And Father, I know you don't want us to serve you because we're afraid you're going to punish us. Because you punish Christ for every sin we'll ever do. You want us to serve you out of love and gratitude. And Lord, we desire that in who we are in our new nature, our new man inwardly. I pray, Father, that if there's one in here that doesn't know you or is watching this, that they'll trust today that Christ died personally for their sins, that he was buried and he rose, and that they'll come by grace, just through simple faith, not of themselves, none they could do, but receive that gift from you and realize it's not by works, lest anyone should boast. I pray they'll make that choice right now and be made spiritually alive, that emptiness that they feel in their soul, Christ, only he can fill that. We all have a God-shaped vacuum. We're born with that, that only you can fill, Father. And I pray for us as your children, as members of the body of Christ, as saints of you, the God Most High, I pray, Father, your Spirit just works mightily in us. You cause us to have such a love for the lost and give us boldness and to speak the truth in love. And then also, you said it's your desire that all would be saved, but then also to come to the knowledge of the truth. Give us patience when sharing how to rightly divide the word, Father, Paul's unique apostleship, the gospel that Christ gave him from heaven. And help us, use us, Father. May your Spirit just do it through us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So, thank y'all for staying awake. I appreciate it. You stayed awake, Bill. Wow. You're really growing. You seem like you're growing now. You're 70.